The law came before Jesus came, but Jesus actually came before the law. So the new covenant is actually older than the old covenant. And yet, in terms of historical time, the old covenant appeared to come first. But actually, it's in Genesis 3:15 when it says that in your seed shall the serpent's head be crushed. So that was hope right there. It showed that after man had sinned, still that a man would crush Satan in your seed, in Eve's seed. And of course, that seed was Jesus, who was born of Mary. And that seed was able then, through his shedding of his blood, to completely destroy the works of Satan, completely destroy the works of the devil. So put up here the whole of human history, and we're in the last, in number seven right now, the last of the 7,000 years. So all we have to go now is 1,000 years, and we've already finished 11 of them, so we're getting there. Some of you may not live that long, but I think I'm going to live that long. I'm going to live the whole time. No, Jesus can come back at any time now, because the last 7,000 is really the millennium, whatever. So he could come at any time and it'll be over. So we're done. We're really finished. And I'm excited about that. I'm ready to go now. Anybody else ready? I mean, I don't have any stake here. I don't have any goal, anything to achieve. Just to say his words and do his deeds, and I'm having a ball. The past, all the guilt is gone. The future, there is no fear. The present, celebrate. So every day is heaven on earth. I mean, I'm not looking forward to heaven. I'm in heaven now. Because the past guilt is washed away, so I'll never be condemned for the sins that I did or didn't did or whatever. I won't be condemned for anything I did or didn't do. Nor will I be afraid of the future, because it's guaranteed. I have the promise of the Spirit. I totally believe in my past guilt being passed away, gone forever, and Jesus took it all on Calvary. So that's why the cross is in the middle. Everything before that time, you notice there's more time before Jesus came and there's less time after he came. So the after the cross is called the last days. And before the cross is also the last days if you divide it in the middle. But basically, Jesus is definitely in the last days. So everything from here on is heading for the end. The first is over. So the law held sway until Jesus. So I wrote on the board, diatheke, or diatheke, palaio, which means the old covenant or the old law, the law which told us what to do and what not to do. It forbade you to do this and it commanded you to do that. Now, that law no longer holds sway for me, but for most of humanity, that law is still in place. And that's why the Bible says that it is passing away, but for us, it's already passed away. We're already part of the new kingdom. And so, diatheke or diatheke is either palaio, old, or it's new. Now, there's two words in the Greek language for new. One is, the word that means I lost my car, and I'm getting another one. So, as another car, just like the one before it, similar to maybe a different color, so on, but basically the same. But the word kine means I'm getting something else, and it's not like that car at all. It's totally new. So the new covenant is nothing like the old covenant where the pressure was on me. The new covenant is based on a promise, not on a command, not what to do or not to do. So the new covenant is based on a better foundation. If I do good, I get a reward. That was the old. Here's a better one. Whether you do good or bad, in fact, I'm only coming for those that did bad. There's hope for you. And it's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. Oh, that's a lot better covenant. That is a better covenant. So to this day, there are Christians, not just Jewish people or Hindus or Buddhists or other religions, who are trying to behave themselves. There are Christians that are trying to behave themselves. But God hates that. God hates people behaving themselves. God hates it when you're moral, when you're religious, when you're doing good, or when you think you're good, or when you believe other people can be judged because they aren't as good as you are. He hates that. He calls that hypocrisy. He said, here's what he said, I wish you were cold. I'd rather you be cold, hate me, kill my son. I'd rather you break every law I have and be real about it. But I hate it that you're lukewarm. You either should be hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. Because if you're cold, you can become hot. But if you're lukewarm, you can never become hot. Because you're just cold pretending. So the lukewarm, and thank God there's nobody in this church that's lukewarm, because we're going to go after you until you're hot or cold. We either get you so that you sin, or we're going to get you to be believing the gospel, because we're going all the way. Aren't you happy?
No.
Now, we don't believe in the old covenant. The old covenant put the pressure on us. The new covenant, you don't do anything. You can't do anything. You didn't do anything. So whether you didn't or wouldn't or couldn't, or it doesn't make any difference. The point is you did not want to anyway. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't know. That's real clear to me. That under the law, nothing is made perfect. So then the question is, does the law require perfection? It does. And even though written on the heart of every man, it just simply says, be good, don't be bad. That's written on everybody's heart. Everybody. There's nobody in the world that doesn't believe in that law, because it's written on your heart. You can't get rid of it. Even if you do wrong, you will be convicted sooner or later that you did wrong. So that law is still there. Everybody still has one of those. But the only way to get rid of it is to die under it, or to die to it through the gospel. So the only way that God wants is, he doesn't want you to be good or bad. He doesn't want you to be at all. He wants you just simply to die. Do y'all see how wonderful that is? Do y'all see what a blessing this world would be if you were dead? He's not talking about your physical death. He's talking about your personality, your psychological, your will, your mind, your emotions, your imagination, and so on. Your will totally, totally, totally controls your mind. Sorry for all those people that think your mind is chief. Your mind is not. It just justifies whatever your will wants. So what you want is what you're going to end up doing. And your emotions are happy when you follow what your mind just justified, which your will wanted. So everybody does what they want. Even when it looks like you don't, you still are willful. So even when it looks like you're being kind or nice or considerate or tender-hearted or something, you actually are mean as a snake, totally self-oriented, don't care one whit for anybody else, and would kill Jesus in a moment. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to reveal the hearts of men. That's why they killed him. So, and the reason they did was because he said what I just said. There's no difference between moral and immoral. He basically said, if you're under the law, you're a hypocrite and a liar. And if you're pretending to keep the law, you're a hypocrite and a liar. Didn't make any distinctions. It's like, well, you know, last week I was really terrible, but this week I've improved a bit. Jesus said, no, you didn't. You're still evil and your heart wasn't in it. You just simply were a hypocrite and a liar. Oh, golly. So no matter how hard I try to be better than other people or be better than myself, it's counted as nothing. Man at his best state, altogether vanity. His righteousness, all his righteousness, a filthy, stinking rag. Just thrust into the nostrils of God. God hates you, your works, anything you do, good or bad. He hates it. He counts it all as the same because you did it. If you did it, it's not perfect. If you did it, it's not perfect. So the purpose of the law is not to make you behave. God never wanted anyone to behave. He just wanted to expose you as a fake, a phony, a liar, an evil person, a hypocrite. Now, you can see everybody's guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that every mouth shall be stopped. Not one can say anything to God under the law. So the law is the most wonderful thing on earth. I'm telling you, the law is the best. There would be no gospel if there were no law. That's why what God gave to the Jews was even greater than what he gave to Jesus. Because without the law, if you don't believe Moses first, or the law written on your heart, which is the same law, it's just that it's much clearer under the Jewish people. The Jewish people had exactly, there were 10. This and that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And then now we know there's 4 commandments that apply to God and 6 that apply to my neighbor. It's clear. So the thing written on your heart is just don't do bad and do good. But that's not so clear. But the Jews have the final word on that. There will never be another sin than those 10. So here's what not to do, here's what not to do, here's what not to do. Don't have other gods before me, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, so on and on and on and on. All those kind of things. Now you know. And he'll never change on that. Like adultery is okay in this case. Nope, it's never okay. Murder is okay in this case. Nope, it's never okay. So, by the way, when I went to school in the 60s, a religious school, a Christian school, they taught me that the law is no longer black and white. It's now gray. They called it situational ethics. In other words, it depends on the situation. So, you know, if you happen to, you know, love the person that you just, you know, it's okay then. I don't know why, as a pagan, I was a total pagan. I was not a Christian, total pagan. I could just see right through that. It's like, that is not true. If you commit adultery, that's adultery. And so I'm not a Christian, but I'm not changing the law. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And when I do wrong, I do it deliberately, knowingly, consciously, and I want to. I choose to. And so the law, I never questioned the law. As a pagan, as a total pagan, I never kept it either, ever, at any time. And when I did apparently keep it, it was only apparently. And I knew at every moment. I never ever thought to myself, gee, you're a good person or you did good. I never thought that. I always knew I was a wicked person and I did it deliberately, knowingly, and consciously. And I would look for ways to do what was wrong, bad, evil. And I loved it. Now, can you see how brilliant Peggy was to marry me? You see what a clever person she was. Do you see that? Kathleen, just think you could have married someone wicked like me. Instead, you married Paul. There's no difference. There's no difference. You know, the sad thing is everybody's like me. Everybody's like me. It's just that I was bold about it. I was completely without conscience and just did what I wanted. And I didn't fear God. I wasn't even mad at him. He didn't even exist as far as I was concerned, and I didn't care if he did or he didn't. I wasn't even arguing about that. I wasn't arguing about the law. I knew there was right and wrong. And I chose, if you'd be all standing in a line and everybody had to wait your turn, I would always find another way. There'd be a little door over there, and I'd say, well, what's that over there? And I would find a way to get out of that line. If you had to take swimming to graduate from college, I'd find a way not to do it. And I did, by the way. I never did. You're not supposed to graduate unless you take swimming. I never did. I thought, I already know how to swim, so I'm not going to take it. I just did what I wanted. Do y'all understand that? That is evil. That is bad. And I would never have denied it. Somebody said, well, what you did, that was wrong, you know. But I would steal, lie, cheat, I'd do it, whatever, consciously, knowingly. I'd even practice it in front of a mirror to look innocent and so on and so forth. I'd teach myself how to cry. Judy, I was good. I was good. What would you call it, an actor. I was very good. And so I did get caught one time. I only got caught one time. When I did, I cried, and they let me off because they were Christians. They were supposed to, because they were under the law, and they had to show mercy. And so I didn't go to prison. But I should have, could have, but thanks be unto God for Christians who are saps, who are, you know, kindly, and, you know, they fall for that kind of thing. You know, I did good. I didn't know if I'd get away with it or not. I mean, I shouldn't have. But Peggy, on one of our first dates, I remember we went to a nice restaurant, and when we got out of the restaurant all done, I had two sets of silverware and the salt and pepper shaker and different things. I said, Peg, all we have to do is go back three more times, we'll have a full set. Because it was very nice. And she said, well, take that back. No. You know, I take everything. You know, there's nothing safe. Did y'all see that? So she gave me an ultimatum. That was a big trauma in my life. You can't do that. Why not? It's just, you know, I'll just take opportunities like that. I thought it was a, you know, cool way to do it. They never miss it. You know, they're just a big corporation or whatever, you know. And actually, if you work for a union, which I did, if you work for a union, they kind of teach you that. You can steal from the company, just don't steal from the other, you know, workers. So they encouraged me to do it, you know. And a lot of other things they encouraged me to do as well. And I thank you, Jesus. You know, it was great. I loved it. Now that I fell in love with Jesus, I found out something. Jesus loves sinners. That is amazing. Has anybody ever heard that? The only way you can become a Christian is you have to be first a sinner. And I was pre-qualified. I was already ahead. Because I didn't lie like other people said that they were good and judge people and all that. I didn't judge anybody. I didn't care what people did. I didn't care people what did to me. I didn't feel bad about it. Just do what you can get away with. If you wake up early and you can get at me, do it. But I'm sneaky. And my parents never figured out what I was doing. I lived a complete double life. You know, they'd be, you know, downstairs in their part of the house, and I'd be upstairs, jump out the window, go do my thing, come on back. They never, in all those years, I was surprised they didn't know what I was doing. Now, I'm not telling you that to tell you you should do it. I'm telling you that to show you what you are. You are not perfect. And if you're not perfect, this is not your rule, it's God's. You don't make it to heaven. You have to be absolutely 100% without a spot or a wrinkle perfect. And I see that to me is good news. Because I found out something, that under the law, you can't be perfect, but under the gospel, you already are. Because under the gospel, you're believing that Jesus Christ is your life, and that when he went to the Father, you went to the Father. Because he shed his blood for you. That's a different diatheke kine. That's a new type of covenant where none of the pressure's on me, and you have to be a sinner. That was me. And he loves you just the way you are. Now, a lot of you are not looking that happy right now, because I think most of you are not wicked like I was, except for Judy. But I think most of you are not as wicked as I was. But I'm sorry, you actually are. You're just like Judy and me. You ladies are all like Judy. It's horrible, isn't it, Judy? But the good news is Jesus only loves sinners. I'm going to tell you something strong. He does not love good people. He does not love people that say they're good, pretend like they're good, when their heart isn't in it. The only way you can be good is that you aren't good and never will be good, but to believe that Jesus Christ is all your goodness. That way your deeds are wrought in God. In other words, it's no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Because he gave himself for me, that is my life. He said, and this is sin. You believe not on Jesus. So sin is not committing adultery, lying, cheating, and stealing. Sin is not believing in Jesus. Number two, your righteousness is not your own. It's His righteousness for you because I go to the Father. When the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict the world of sin because they believe not in me. When the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father on your behalf. In other words, I am your righteousness. So all your righteousness is not in you. You can't do it. You'll never be condemned because Jesus Christ went to the Father on your behalf. And when He stood before the Father, He said, I was not good for myself. I was good for Jim or for Judy and anybody else. But if you are a hypocrite and if you are a liar and you didn't love God with all your heart, as well as all your strength and all your will and all your mind and everything, you can't get in. But I did, because Jesus did it for me, and I believed in Him, and He counted that as righteousness. That's why Abraham was chosen. The reason Abraham was chosen was because God knew Abraham was sinful. Did you know where He found him? He didn't find him in Haran. He found him in Ur of the Chaldees. And he was worshiping the moon god. And when he was coming out, he said, Abraham, come here. I want to talk to you about a covenant I have for you. I haven't made this covenant with anybody else. But you look like the kind of guy that would do wrong. You look like the kind of guy that, you know, won't be surprised if I say, you need help. And Abraham said, you know, well, what is it you want me to do? Nothing. He said, yeah, I think I could help out. I could be your partner. Let me get it clear. You do it all. If I sin, you forgive me. If I sin, you send me your spirit to help me. That's cool. Now, I don't have to do any part. Did I just go off? Am I all right? Anyway, I don't know why I'm holding this. I should be waving my arms. I think I'm on. All right. So God doesn't want you to be good. God wants you actually to be evil. Evil. Some of you are doing real good. But to be your righteousness, and He counts that as good. So does He want us to sin? No, you can't go into His house if you have any sin. So you have to overcome it by the blood of the Lamb, which is His mercy, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is where your power comes from. So mercy and power is grace. Mercy and power is grace. First part of grace, mercy. Second part, power. In other words, He forgives you, but He still doesn't take away your sin except through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you're not only forgiven and the guilt is gone, but now you have the power to overcome Satan and sin and flesh and self until you're dead. I mean totally, 100% dead. Now, if you ever use your words or your thoughts or your deeds, you're in sin. As a Christian, if you're a Christian and you say you believe in Jesus and you believe that He forgives your sins, and yet you still say your own words and you sometimes gripe or you feel sorry for yourself or you're depressed or whatever else, you're in sin. Pastor, no, I'm the righteousness of Christ. No, you're not. That's a spiritual statement. You are the righteousness of Christ in your spirit, but your soul is not. And God wants you, spirit, soul, and body, to be perfected in order to go into heaven. Now, that's not good news to most of you, because what you were hoping is that you could just kind of fumble in because you believed in Jesus. No, you believe in Jesus, then you must suffer. You cannot even get into heaven without suffering. And that's a wonderful thing. I have no problem doing that because I know I'm a lousy person. So I know, hey, just kill me off because I'm not. I of myself will think of something devious. I still am able to do that. I could lie today. I'm so gifted at that. Does anyone else have that natural gift? Lying, exaggerating, thinking well of yourself, doing everything God said not to do. So unless I'm dead on a daily basis, did you know the New Testament says die daily? Jesus died once for all. That was your mercy. But now the baptism of the Holy Spirit is every day. The Holy Spirit, His mercies are fresh and new every morning. You have to be forgiven every morning, not for your spiritual, but for yourself, your soul, so that no behavior is allowed. And the minute you lie or exaggerate or steal or even think it, You're in sin. And the Holy Spirit, it's up to him, it's not up to you, to convict you, and he'll say, you're not perfected. That's not what Jesus would have said. That's not what Jesus would have done. That's not what the Father is doing right now. So you have to confess that. God, forgive me. You don't have to run around the church. You don't have to, sprinkle holy water on yourself. You don't have to go into, anything. You don't have to do anything. You just simply say, by the blood of Jesus, I'm forgiven. And I am perfect in him. And there's no law now that can convict me because Jesus died under the law for me. Therefore, that law can never come and condemn me. So thank you, Jesus. Forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you see how quick that was? There was no tarrying at the bench in front of the church and weeping and moaning. There was no, going to Holy Mass every day and sprinkling holy water and all that. There's nothing to do. Jesus Christ did it all. We are complete in him. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, this teaching is not very popular and it doesn't build big churches, but it happens to be accurate. It happens to be the truth, is that only God is good. That means you will never be good, no matter what, because you're not God. You may be in God, but you are not God. Only God is good. None is good but God. So, that being the case, the only goodness you'll ever have is borrowed. And that's why he said, and the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father on your behalf. And he is now standing in the presence of God, interceding for everybody here, so that you may be clothed in his righteousness and not your own. The problem with the Jewish people is they took the law seriously and threw out the gospel because they felt they could do it. They even told Moses when he gave the law, we can do it. We will do it. We commit to this day to do it. We will keep the Torah. And they ask themselves, are you keeping Torah? No, not perfectly, but I'm working at it. I had a little bacon this week, but nothing serious. I didn't break any of the Big Ten. I was, really on Law 722, and there's only 613. But the point is that God doesn't want you to keep law at all because Jesus Christ already kept the law perfectly for you, and he went into the Father's presence. And here's something bigger than law. Here's something greater than law, the gospel. The good news is so good, it's a different theke, diatheke. It's a different covenant. It's a different deal. What is it? What kind of a covenant? It's a new covenant. And only Jesus' death, which paid for everything in the past, and then gives you the power, the cross actually looks backward. All guilt is removed. And then it looks forward through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, led of the Spirit. They are called the sons of God who are led, not who believe, who want to know, who are led by the Spirit of the living God. That's a Christian. A Christian is not just somebody who's trying to behave himself. A Christian is not just somebody who's trying, to be better than he was a year ago. No. A Christian is someone who's dead to this world. I mean, completely dead. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And that's not just passive. That is also active, meaning actually the Holy Spirit is working that in your life where you're free. You're free. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You have all those nine gifts operating in your life. You are now a kind person. You are now joyful all the time. And when you're not, it's a sin, and you have to confess it right away. Homologeo, that is a Greek word which means same speak. Homo is same, like. And logeo means to talk, to speak. So to say the same thing God says, when he says you're a sinner, you're a sinner. And when he says you're a saint, you're a saint. Now, you must say the same thing. My old man, that's a sinner. So I confess that. My new man, that's a saint. So I confess that too. So I confess my sin, but I also confess my righteousness. I do that every day. Every single day, the Holy Spirit will point out a sin. I'll realize I did that one. Yep, I did that one. I don't think I did that one. Of course, that's always, a joke. And so I go, God, come on, have I done that one? And then within an hour or two, the Lord will say, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. You were right again. You're always right. How many know God is always right? And by the way, it's real easy for God because anything you do is a sin. Did you know that apart from faith, it's always sin? You can't please God except by faith. So the Jewish people are in trouble because they're under the law. But you know what? God made a promise so big that he not only told them what he wanted, which is to believe, but he also told them, and I will make you righteous. I will make you holy. So the Jewish people, as a people, I don't mean just an individual here and there, as a people, as a nation, they will come in. Because God said it. Didn't say it of America. Didn't say it of any other country. Those are the only people who have borne the heat of the day. And they've lived under that law thing of trying to behave themselves and be decent and kind and all that stuff. Too much work. How many know that when Jesus Christ does it, it's perfect? And that's the only thing that's going to count with God. Not, well, I did the best I could. Doesn't count. Well, you know, I tried real hard. I was real sincere, too, about that. That doesn't count. God hates all that. He despises that. He only will accept one thing, and that's absolute perfection. So, how many are excited about this message? It's a good message. Your flesh hates it. Your flesh hates it because your flesh wants to be miserable and griping and complaining and a little bit proud of doing some decent things. After all, you came to church. No, you get no credit because everything you do is wicked. But if your deeds are wrought in God, then you come to the light. If your deeds are wrought in yourself, you'll stay in the darkness. So there are many Christians that aren't going to make it because they actually are trusting in themselves. I believe I did what God wanted. No. There's no even question. When Jesus Christ is your righteousness, it's over. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. That means it's not coming, it's already come. So you are now, today, seated with Christ in heavenly places, even though it's not visible. Visibility has nothing to do with reality. When God says you're a saint, you are one, even though you don't feel like it. Well, I don't feel like I'm much of a Christian. That's irrelevant. What you feel is irrelevant, completely sinful to even mention it. Don't even bring it up. What God says, that's relevant. You are a new creation. That's it. Jesus Christ is your righteousness. That's over. So are Christians Christian? For the most part, I didn't think there are many that actually have got a hold of this because there are very few Christians that I know have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and are experiencing it on a daily, continual, constant basis. And when they don't, they confess their sins and they stay clean. Now, the world is still waiting for Christians not to talk about Jesus, but to actually be like Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now, the fact that you believe in God is good, but he wants more than that. He wants you, well, let's imagine this is the law over here. Well, let's put the law over here on the left side because I have more people over here. Law is the left hand of God. So here's God's left hand. This is what you ought to do, and this is what you ought not to do. Over here is the gospel. This is what Jesus has done, and it's over. You got to choose. You choose which one you believe in. If you want this one, then you try hard to behave yourself. And everybody should raise your children on the left side. When it comes to child raising, you raise them over here. However, you introduce them to Jesus right away. So even though they're living under the law, they do something wrong and you spank them or punish them or something, whatever. That's good because now they learn the law. If you don't have the law, the gospel won't be any good. The bad news comes before the good news. The bad news is that you're always guilty and your parents are always right. Even if you're two and you know you're right, you get a spanking. It's awful. Little kids, you know, they can be as defiant as they want. You just break them. Did you hear what I just said? So you just raise them like God raised his children, Israel. You just spank them. Remember he said, if you do anything wrong, you're going to come under the curse. Remember they said, let's keep God out of our camp. Do you remember? God moved his tent out of the camp. Y'all remember that? Remember why he moved his tent out of the camp? It wasn't because they sinned. they sinned in order to get him out. Because he said, if you keep sinning like this, I'm going to move my tent out. So they deliberately sinned. Because they didn't like God looking over their shoulder all the time. They always were, you know, like, why did he choose us? Could choose somebody else. Bother somebody else. It's no fun to live under the law. How many know that living under a law, let's say in your marriage, let's say your mate wants you to behave in a certain way. Has anybody ever had one of those marriages? Now, I don't have any laws for Peggy. I don't care what she does. She's great just the way she is. Be anything you want to be. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. I love you just the way you are. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, weigh 500 pounds, I don't care. Do what you want to do, but don't. But I don't enforce it. I just tell her, don't do it. I don't enforce it. I mean, if she did, that's fine. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because I think all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. So she's a gift of God no matter what. There's no possibility for her ever to goof up because there's no law. She's totally under the unconditional love of God and me. I love her no matter what. Now, if I do anything less than that or different than that, then I've taught her what to say. Jim, whether I'm right or not, I don't think that was Jesus. You didn't behave like Jesus. And that immediately stops me. Or what you said was probably right, but the way you said it, that wasn't Jesus. You know, the tone you had, the way you raised your eyebrow, the little click you put at the end of the sentence, you know, whatever. You see? So I have to be perfect. Y'all see that? And she has a right at any time to conquer me, just to knock me right down. And I love it. I want her to do it. I encourage her to do it. So she gets to have heaven on earth. And she doesn't have to give me anything back. I don't want anything from her. I don't want her to be a nice wife or anything. Just be anything you want to be. You see that? That's unconditional love. Do you understand that? Can you actually do that? Yeah, you can do that. Because there's no rules. If God doesn't have a rule for me, why should I have a rule for her? You see that? If it didn't work for God, I don't think it's going to work for me. So I have no rules for you either. There are no rules. I don't have a rule for bad people. I don't have any rules. Why? Because rules don't work. The only thing that rules do is help you see how wicked you are. Now, that is a good thing, so that you know that when someone loves you unconditionally, it's pure mercy and purely the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. That's how you know where the church is. The church is not where there's no sin. The church is where sin doesn't rule, where we show mercy to people that fail. We don't condemn them. Now, the law is still the law. I mean, the law can't be bad because it's God. The law basically says, be like God. That can't be wrong. So we don't get rid of the law. We actually fulfill it by making it possible through Jesus Christ living in us and through us so that we say his words and do his deeds. So I'm totally for the law, 100% for the law. Law is the best. I tell you, it's better than the gospel. Unless you're sick, you're not going to go to the doctor. Unless you're wicked, you're not going to go to Jesus as Savior or as Lord. So when you're wicked and you're weak, how many of you are wicked and weak? Good. And you need Jesus as Savior for your wicked part, and you need Jesus as Lord for your power part. So you have the Holy Spirit. So he provides for everything. Now, the law was given to show me that I was guilty, not good, bad, imperfect, lousy. The gospel was given to lousy people. It wasn't given to good people. It wasn't given to righteous people. It wasn't given to people that work real hard. It was only given to sinners. Think not that I came for the righteous. I came for sinners. So you have to be a sinner. So the first thing you want to do is become a sinner. How many here are wicked sinners beyond hope? You are such a hopeless, helpless, evil, hypocritical, lying, nasty person. How many here are like that? Well, thank you, Jesus. It looked like almost everybody. Okay, how many are better than those people? How many are better than those people? No. Go ahead. I know you really think you are. You can say it because you can be anything you want to be. But the truth is, you're wrong. Everybody's in the same boat. And Jesus can't even talk to that person. There's nothing he can say to that person except repent, or you hypocrite. Because a person that feels that they're going to go to heaven because they were good and decent and tried real hard, that's not true. It's not true. We have nothing common with any other religion. There's no other religion like the gospel of Jesus Christ. None. Why? Because it's the only one that works, because it's the only one that's real, and it's the only one for sinners. Now, the Jewish people who first got a hold of this gospel through Abraham and then subbed in with Moses and tried to keep the Torah as though the Torah were just Moses. Oh, no. The Torah starts with Abraham. So Abraham was a faith man. He totally believed in the gospel, and he believed that under the law, living in Ur, he didn't believe that he could make it. But God made a promise to him. Seven times he made a promise. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Seven. Seven I wills means God carries the new covenant under Abraham. The new covenant is where God does everything and Abraham does nothing. The only thing Abraham was told to do, and I know you're going to misunderstand this, so I'm going to explain it. Be perfect. In other words, what he's saying is not you be perfect. What he's saying is perfectly follow this thing that I just told you, is where don't do anything, I do it all. And if you want that gift, all you have to do is nothing. Don't help me out, because I will make your name great. You can't. I will cause your enemies to bless you. You can't. I will, I will. So God is doing everything. And Abraham believed, and God counted it as righteousness. That's the only way you can be righteous. Because what he was talking about was Jesus. What he was basically saying was the seed of Abraham is Jesus. And Jesus is the son of Abraham that came to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant through his blood. You remember the lamb that was caught in the bush? The Lamb of God is not that lamb, but was Jesus Christ. And he died before the foundation of the world for the sins of all mankind, not just the Jewish people, but for everybody. Now, that new covenant is the greatest good news ever. Now, I don't know if anybody here can get a hold of this, because I've preached this forever, for years, but I love this message. I think this is an awesome message. And I love hearing it. I mean, I just go home and play this tape over again. It's very, very good. But I know that lots of people don't get a hold of it because you've been taught from youth, and the whole culture teaches, everybody in nature teaches that you have to keep the law. Good people should be rewarded, bad people should be punished. Wrong. God reserves the right, even though that's true under the law, left hand. It's not true under the gospel. Under the gospel, Jesus Christ is the only one that keeps the law, and Jesus Christ does it voluntarily. He doesn't even keep it out of fear. He keeps it out of love. Father, I always do what's pleasing to you. And what I'm going to do is you want me to go down and help Jim out. You want me to go down and help Barbara out. You want me to go down and help Nick out. You want me to go down and help wicked people become righteous. And he used the Jewish people first to get this message across, that here's the law, knowing that they would not. And Moses even told them right after he gave the law, he said, by the way, I know you Jewish people, because I'm one of you. I know what we're like, stubborn and stiff-necked. So you're going to come under the curses that we just talked about. We're not going to come under. You are. But the promises still hold. And the promises are greater than the law. And so therefore, we are made new. We are complete in him. With Jesus Christ, he has fulfilled the law, and now I can keep the law. I who am totally lawless. Hebrews 8:12. Here it is. Listen to it. This is God. But, or for, or because, choti. Because, it's a causal phrase. Because I will be merciful to the ungodly, to the unrighteous. In other words, God says, if you're a sinner, a wicked sinner, and you have no hope whatsoever, and you're completely desperate, I will to forgive you. That's my will. I will show mercy, give mercy, offer mercy to the ungodly, and I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. And the Greek is even stronger than that, because it says it's a double negative. Ume. Not ever, not in any possibility, but not in any wise will I ever remember your sins. So once he forgives you, you are forgiven forever. Is that not amazing? But he only gives this not to the righteous people, not to the good people, not to the moral people, not to the churchgoers, not to those people that think they're better than other people, but only to those that are wicked as all get out, and they know they went to church and they were hypocrites and liars. That's what God wants, is be yourself, be what you are. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. In Christ, you can do all things. Now, that offer then is made that I will never again, I don't want you to go to heaven and then be happy. I want you to be happy right now because Jesus Christ has already gone to the Father for you. That's a different kind of covenant, where before I even proved anything, before I even saw anything, understood anything, he made an offer to me and said, Jim, I love you unconditionally. And I love everybody. I love everybody. But you, if you don't believe this, I won't force you. So you get to decide, do you want to live here under the law or do you want to live here? But there's no other choice. You don't get another choice. You either can live by faith or you can live by law. And if you live by law, you're going to complain and gripe. There's no possibility that you're not going to complain and gripe. You will never be happy. Everybody who lives under the law is trying to find happiness, never will. Not even possible. The only way you can do it is trust in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's the only one, right here. Now, why has God made this so simple? Because he wants to say it knowing that your flesh will never, ever, ever, ever believe. Your flesh will never repent. Your flesh will never believe in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? So he gives the gospel to people knowing that the only thing you need to hear is the law. And when you hear the law and you realize there's no hope for you, those people have ears to hear. But if you believe that you could keep the law, or there's any decency in you, or that you're a nice person, or you're kind, or you're better than Pastor Jim, you're going to miss it. We are all identical. Susan, you are just like me. It's awful, isn't it? But nevertheless, I know you. You're exactly like me. Now, the beauty is that when you hear the bad news, the only reason you hear the bad news is so you can go and get the good news. It's the only way you can get to heaven is by being a bad person. You have to be wicked. So first of all, you're going to be wicked. And then Jesus Christ will speak to you and say, I forgive you. So the first thing you're going to get is not the lordship of Jesus, but the Savior who died on the cross for you, and he gives you total forgiveness. So you come over and you're not making any effort because he's just saying, I already went to the Father for you, and you just believe it. So the first thing you do is believe. The second thing you do is you submit then to his lordship and you surrender. And you go, God, I not only want to be forgiven of the guilt of my sin, I want you to remove it. I want no sin to empower me or lead me. And if a sin does come, I'll immediately confess it and I'll immediately be set free and I'll remember who I am by the power of the Spirit. So the Spirit doesn't tell you to obey. The Spirit tells you to behold Jesus. So there's no more law. You're not obeying a law. You're believing a truth. Do you hear the difference? In other words, it's like this. I'm not trying to love my wife. I love her. So you see, I'm just simply going, that's who I am. I'm no longer a sinner trying to behave myself or misbehave. I'm now a saint who's been forgiven by God for all my sins, and who's filled with the Holy Spirit, Christ in me, the hope of glory, I can do all things. So sometimes I forget who I am, and I do wrong. I do bad. I don't do what Jesus would have me do. But I just quickly, the Holy Spirit will convict me. It's not my job to convict me. The Holy Spirit will convict me. I don't ever convict myself. I don't ever look for it or try to find it or anything else. I just let the Holy Spirit do his job. And when the Holy Spirit is convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So that's the Holy Spirit's job. You don't have to even help him. When you're a Christian, you know right away, I did wrong. Then you confess it. God, I'm sorry. And you don't have to feel sorry. You don't have to understand you're sorry. You just say it. God, I'm sorry. What I did was not you. It was evil. It was wrong. It's bad. And that's not who I am. This is who I am. I'm a new man in Christ. Because I'm a new man in Christ, I meditate on that. Beholding him, we are changed. Beholding him, we are changed. Beholding him, we are changed. not beholding him as Savior, beholding him as Lord. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So you see, David, right now, you're already perfected in Christ. You are complete in him. So you don't have to work at it. There's no more effort. There's no more, oh, look what I did, or, oh, I hope I do better. It's already over. Now, you should have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You should have those nine fruits of the Spirit operating in you right now. Why? Because that's who you are. And so the fact that you don't do it, that's just a sin. That's just your flesh taking over again. You forgot. But immediately, God, forgive me. That is not who I am. I'm a new creation. I forgot. But now I remember. Because the Holy Spirit caused it. You didn't try to remember, just the Holy Spirit brought it to mind. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So now, who would like to testify? Pastor, that is a powerful message. I, like you, love that message. And I'm ready to practice it right now. Amen. Who would like to do that? Okay, somebody stand up and say, I got it. I'm a new creation in Christ. I was a wicked sinner apart from Christ. Now I believe in Jesus, forgave all my sins by the blood of Jesus. And now I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has filled me, and I am able now to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from me, I can do nothing, but in me, you can do all things. And I can do it today. I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I'm not going to do it in heaven. I'm going to do it now, right this minute. Who's ready? I'll never complain again. I'll never gripe again. And if I do, I know it's a sin, and I'll confess it immediately. All right. God is good.